The scripture this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 33. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you worry by adding a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us here again today. I'm Charlotte Blend, and I'm the Communications and Foundations Coordinator at Lund, and I'm here with my colleague Debbie Rowland, who is our Director of Philanthropy and is new to Lund and new to Vermont. So this is a wonderful chance for her to meet you. And if there are any questions that are too difficult, I'll hand them right over to Debbie. We have been coming to this particular Sunday service and as an organization been involved with the Charlotte Church for a long, long time, long predating my time at Lund. And so Anne Bilowski has been our faithful friend and volunteer and such a great support to Lund for many, many years. So when Sandy and I were talking about the presentation this morning, I made sure to run the idea past Anne, and luckily she agreed with it. Otherwise, we would have had to change what we were doing, as I am definitely a member of the Do What Anne Tells You to Do club. And so she actually did make a suggestion that we start with the history. So if, Debbie, you go to the first slide, that is a picture of the Home for Friendless Women, Lund's original name, in 1890. So Lund was actually founded in 1890 by 10 members of the Women's Christian Temperance Union who came from all across Vermont. And they saw a need in the community to help women and children who were the most vulnerable and who'd been left on the edges of society. And the heart of that work in 1890 is very much at the heart of what we are doing today. The name has changed, I think, in a good direction. And the way that we do the work is different, but the heart of it is very true. So if we go to the next slide. So these are four outcomes of Lund's programs and services. So I would like to talk about the range of everything that Lund does in relation to these four goals, which I'm sure many of you here agree with and strive to in your own community lives and professional lives. And Lund is a statewide organization serving around 5,500 individuals a year through lots of different programs. And many people know Lund for maybe one or two parts of it. And few people have scope of everything that Lund does, and so that's what we're going to do in a whirlwind sense today, is go through all the programs. And there's information in the bulletin if you can't remember every single thing that I tell you today. So these four outcomes: children live in safe, nurturing, stable, and supported families. Families have economic and educational opportunities that help them thrive. Children and young people achieve their potential, and parents have supports necessary to achieve and maintain recovery from substance use disorder. So all of our programs can fall under those outcomes, those goals, and many of them actually hit all of those. So if we go to the first one, you're already there. So children live in safe, nurturing, and supported families. So the first way that we do that is through our adoption program. There we go. And actually, you can see on this quilt that we have up here today, this quilt is part of our Project Family, which is a collaboration with the Department for Children and Families to find homes for children in the state whose parental rights have been terminated but don't yet have an identified forever family. So last year, we did 335 adoptions, and 314 of them were through Project Family. So we do private infant adoption, but we also work with the state to find homes for kids like these young people who are up here this morning, who are right now in the state without a forever family. They don't know from one day to the next where they're going to be living and who's looking out for them. So we have worked for many years, and that was the original focus of lots of Lund's work in the early part of the previous century, was on adoption. And we are still the largest adoption agency and the only ones working with the state to finalize the adoption of children in foster care, because every child deserves a family and the support to ensure that those families are safe, well-connected, and that children are thriving. So that actually takes care of our next service, the post-permanence. So that's what we call the support for adoptive families. So we understand that the issues that children might be facing or families may be struggling with don't end when the finalization paperwork is signed. We are there for those families to support them as long as they need us to ensure that everybody is safe and thriving. Then family education. So we support families with parenting education, parent coaching, giving role models for parenting skills, child development, and making sure families are connected to other services in the community to meet their basic needs. So we do that in our buildings at Lund and in families' homes, removing some of the barriers that rural Vermont families face in getting to places to receive services. We will go to them through our family education program. The next, the Vermont Family Recovery Project, which is a new program that we launched last fall as a result of a 5-year federal grant to expand services to families in Burlington and in Newport and the Northeast Kingdom to help families where there's a concern from the Department for Children and Families that children will be removed from the parents' custody. So instead of waiting to see what happens, we're working with families to help those families be safe and stable to prevent more children coming into foster care. And again, that is work that happens in the families' homes. Okay, next one. So families have economic and educational opportunities that help them thrive. So we'll Reach Up is the first program we have under this sort of outcome. So we work with we are partnered with the state to provide Reach Up case management, which helps families to remove barriers from educational and employment goals. So that could be completing training, could be getting a driver's license, finding childcare, making sure that families have the things that they need and help them in setting goals and getting to those goals so that parents can break cycles of poverty and help their children move forward. So we work with the state for Reach Up. Then we have our early childhood program. So right in our building in South Burlington, we have an early childhood education program for 50 children, age 5 weeks up through preschool. So helping to get kids ready for kindergarten and making sure that those children are well looked after, are making good social and emotional progress. And about 60% of those kids attend the program at no cost, so on full subsidy from the state. And many of the children in the program are suffering from the effects of adverse childhood experiences. So we have a really cool framework that I won't get into now because it requires lots more than the time we have, but to make sure that there's a therapeutic curriculum that's inclusive of everybody. So everyone is thriving in that school program and getting the help that they need, and that we're working with parents outside so that the lessons that we're working with the kids in school are extended into the family, and making sure that if at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon a mom comes in and says, I don't know how I'm gonna feed the kids this weekend, that we're helping with gift cards for the grocery store and Monday morning calling and making the connections to services so those families can meet their basic needs. Then our New Horizons education program, and that's where this wonderful photo is from. That's our high school program for pregnant and parenting teens and students, so that we can make sure that moms get their high school diplomas. And babies can come to school with the moms up until the babies are about 6 months old, or when they find childcare, which is very difficult in Chittenden County, and making sure that moms work towards their high school diploma, and integrating financial education, parenting, budgeting, cooking into that classroom curriculum so that it's very relevant for those parents. And we work with CCV to talk about college and further education. And so for some of our students, this is the first time that anyone has shown the belief in, of course you can go to college, and we're here to help you. And it might look different from how you maybe thought or how other people are doing it, but you can get through high school and get your diploma and move on to the next steps. And that's very empowering for those students. Then we have workforce development, so that's job training skills, either in our programs at Lund, because we have so many different programs, women can come and do work experience at our childcare, or in our kitchen, with our custodial staff, with office staff, or with other nonprofits in the community to develop solid work skills and build their resumes and have experience in order to then be able to in a better position to get employment later on. And then lastly, Independence Place is our transitional housing. So we have 7 studio apartments for moms and kids where they can live in a supportive community, receive parenting help if they need it, and put into place those other skills that we're teaching for independent living. And when the women complete that program, they get a housing voucher for Section 8 housing in the community of their choice, which again is very, very difficult. Affordable, safe housing is really hard to find, especially in Burlington and in Chittenden County. And so being part of this program means that they'll be able to move on to a place where they can settle and bring up their kids. But there are 7 studio apartments and we need 700. So we're working on figuring out how housing cannot be such a barrier for us. Then children and young people achieve their potential. So our children's services program provides developmental screening and assessment for young children so that we can have early intervention as needed to make sure that those kids are being set on the right trajectory for future success. We also have our Kids Apart program, which is an extremely unique program. We are the only ones in the state doing this work with moms incarcerated at the Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility, which is just down the street from our South Burlington building. So we are working with moms in the facility to build their parenting capacity and help them stay connected to their kids during incarceration, and working with the kids and their caregivers in the community. And we have a child-friendly visiting room within the correctional facility where kids can come every other Saturday and visit with mom. And there are no restrictions in that visiting room. They can play, we have access to the gym, moms can play basketball, can have snacks with their kids, they can read books and really be together in a space that, if you close your eyes, you know, sounds like any other play group or situation, so that the kids are still staying connected to mom, which obviously makes sense for the kids and is the biggest motivation for moms to avoid coming back into the correctional facility. We also have teen pregnancy prevention outreach program where we have our moms engaged in other programs go to community groups, middle schools, high schools, and talk to young people about their stories and share what they wish they had known when they were younger and educate young people about pregnancy prevention. And for our moms who are doing that presentation, they are telling their story and are being very brave and also feeling really empowered about, you know, if I could speak to my 14 or 17-year-old self, this is what I would say. And owning the fact that they are doing well and thriving and love being parents, but there are different choices that could be made. And that program travels statewide to bring those presentations to areas of the state where there might not be those resources. Okay, moving swiftly on. Is everybody still with me? Okay, don't worry, I'm not going to ask any questions at the end. And this is again, unique work that Lund is doing in the area of substance use disorder treatment, because as I'm sure everybody is aware, there is a serious concern in Vermont with opiate use, and it is really widespread, prevalent amongst many, many different people. And we are working exclusively with parents. So our treatment programs are family-centered and recognize that treating substance use disorder has to come as part of all these other services. That is impossible to remain strong in recovery if you're struggling with parenting, if you're living in poverty, if you are homeless. All these pieces have to come together. So we have a residential program, and that is the only place in the state of Vermont where moms can come and live with their kids while they're engaging in treatment. So as you can imagine, that removes one of the biggest barriers for moms in accessing the treatment that they need. They can bring the kids with them and receive parenting education and other services while they're living at our building. So women come from all over Vermont, but only 26 women can be there at a time. So that's really another program that maintains a long waiting list. And as soon as somebody transitions, we have somebody ready to come into that program. We also have outpatient treatment, so that is community-based treatment for parents that is, again, family-centered, individual counseling, group counseling, and we are working with the state to provide medication-assisted treatment to parents and the services that requires. And that expansion has really helped in reduce the waiting list for other programs and making sure that people can get treatment when they need it. We also have family engagement services, which works with our parents who are in treatment to help with what is life going to look like when you leave our residential program or when you move on from our community treatment services. Do you have the other pieces in place to support you in staying strong in recovery? When somebody is suffering from addiction, they can break a lot of relationships. They can damage a lot of their circles of support. And our family engagement program helps people to repair those relationships and to rebuild their support networks while they're in treatment so that when they're moving on, they have concrete supports and they have a plan and purpose in their life so that they can stay strong in recovery. Because again, it's not like, oh, you're recovered and it will never be an issue again. Substance use disorder is a chronically relapsing disease, and we have to make sure that everybody who is leaving our treatment programs is set up as best they can be to be strong in recovery. And if things don't go well and they relapse, we are right there for them to say, okay, let's figure out what we need to do this time. And then the regional partnership program, which again was another federal grant that started in 2007 to put our substance use screeners with DCF social workers to go out on child welfare calls and do substance use screening right on the spot in the family's home and help those parents connect to services for treatment. So that we're not, so a social worker's not saying, here you go, call this number, get to this place, do this thing, and not helping see that process through. So we now have somebody who helps parents connect with treatment, which has been so successful. It started in one DCF district, spread to two, then to six, and now to all 12 DCF districts, and started as a federal grant, and then the state took on the funding of that project because the outcomes have been so successful in helping parents engage in treatment and reducing the number of kids being taken into custody. So that was a whirlwind tour of all of Lund's programs under those four outcomes. And Lund is very unique. There aren't many organizations that do the same work that we do in the way that we do it. There's definitely nobody else in Vermont who's doing all of the things that we are doing. And we can do it because we have very collaborative relationships with state programs, with other nonprofits, to make sure that we are working efficiently and meeting all of the families' needs. We also have a long history, you know, from 1890, that's a long time, of helping women, children, and families, but also being very nimble in meeting the needs and adapting our services, and not just doing things because that's the way we've always done them, but being very strict with ourselves and saying, are we meeting the needs of families in the ways that they need to be met? And doing that through unique programming. And so we have great successful outcomes of really changing the trajectory of families' lives. And I know for some of you who've been here in previous years, we've had clients of our services come and speak about the difference that, Lund has made in their lives. And we are really very privileged to see it every day and to wrap these families in love and respect and celebrate their successes and really recognize the small moments of parenting with kindness, of getting to an appointment on time, of completing homework, of spending another day in recovery, though, and celebrating those successes, and really hope, opportunity, and family, which are the words in our tagline and the title of our message today, is really central to what we're doing, and just lifting families up and making sure that they can achieve all of these four goals. And to end, we obviously couldn't do it without the support of our wonderful community. And this church is really representative of that, of so many, so many different ways that you've been supporting us for so long. And I think that one of the things that always sticks out in my mind are with the Mother's Day baskets, and it happened again this year. I came and loaded my car, and we went in and out and in and out, loading all these wonderful things into the car to bring to our residential program and to transitional housing. And the message that sends to our moms is that there are people out in the community who don't know you, who are supportive of you and who believe in you. And that's really the message that you all have been giving our moms, our dads, our caregivers, and our children for so many years, is that you believe in them and the potential that they have for their lives and to strengthen our community. So we are so very grateful to be here today and for the so many years that you've been supporting us. And I look forward to continuing to work with Sandy and Susan and Kevin. And I'm going to visit Anne tomorrow and, you know, report how it went today. And maybe I'll recreate this speech for her so that she, because I know that she is very connected to us still. So thank you so much. And if you need more information, there are so many ways you can help. Talk to Debbie and me afterwards or visit our website, and I look forward to continuing our relationship. Thank you so much.